Today's shir is Masechta in the Daram Daf Chaf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Hey Omer Aleph, the second line. Valdata the Nafshloi of it inish the Mishtaba. As we had learned in the previous shir, when the Mishnah and the Gemara had discussed Nidrei Havoi, Shvuos Havoi, the Daram, they represent an exaggeration. Shvuos, they represent an exaggeration. The Gemara had said why when somebody made a neder or a shvua, the Gemara focused on a shvua, that he saw 600,000 people like the Oile Mitzrayim is automatically considered a neder of exaggeration, a shvua of exaggeration. Perhaps when he said Oile Mitzrayim, he didn't mean 600,000 people. He meant 600,000 ants. And any road could have 600,000 ants on it. And that's what he meant when he said the shvua. So the Gemara says that when a person makes a shvua, he makes it according to the way words are typically, the way we interpret, the way we use words, not the way he creates words in his own mind. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed true? The person doesn't make a shvua based on his own understanding. Vatanya, we learned in a braisa in the Masechta Shvuos. We know, we've discussed many times, the midaraisa, somebody's a moida b'miksas. Somebody admits partially. You say, I owe you $100. I admit I owe 50. And I disagree about 50. I have to make a shvua midaraisa. The halach is not only do I have to make a shvua midaraisa, I have to hold a sefer Torah, nikitas chayfetz, when I make that sefer Torah. And before I make that shvua, Bezdin says to me, kishahem ashbin isoi, when they make me swear, they tell me, have your day, you should be aware. We're not allowing you to say the shvua based on your understanding of how you're going to use the words. It has to include that you're using the words, how Bezdin would understand the words. Lafukimai, why do we have to use these? Why does this statement have to be said to me, said to the one making the shvua, before he makes the shvua? And the mashal goes on to say that not only does he have to say al datenu, valdas bezdin, we have to include the words valdas hamokoim. And he says a very beautiful pshat. Why? He says because the only one that really knows what's in my heart, that I can't fool, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hamokoim. So why do we have to tell this to the individual? Lefuki, because perhaps what this person may try to say, the askalilas gundri, he's going to give the person he owes wood chips, vaskalas shmazuzi, and he's going to call it money. So what's the concern? I'm saying that I'm a moid of a mixus. I only owe you part of the loan. I don't want to swear falsely. I'll give you wood chips that don't really, that are really worthless. I owe you $50. I'll give you 50 wood chips. And I'm going to say, when I make the shvur, that I call wood chips, wood chips, Zuzi. To avoid that problem, Bezdin tells me that you're making the shvur not as you understand the words. Al-da-teinu val-das Bezdin val-das ha-mokon. So you see that there is a concern that when one makes a shvur, he uses his own understanding of the words, not the way the words are typically used. Mid-ka-omar, since Bezdin has to tell this individual when he's making the shvur, to make the shvur al-da-teinu, according to our understanding of the words, mechlada ovet inish, the mishtaba data the nafshi, that a person, if he wasn't given this warning, when he makes a shvua, he makes it as he understands it. Says the Gemara, lo. That's not the concern. There's never a concern that the person who's making the shvua could misinterpret the words as he wants to use them, and therefore be able to make a shvua. The concern is a different concern. Lefuke mekanya derava. The concern is the situation that happened with the Cain by Rava. Says the Gemara, the who gavred avamask b'chavri zuzi. There was a person that owed someone else money. Osla kamei de Rava. So the malva came to the loiva. There's a very big machlokes to show him how to understand this Gemara. The malva comes to the loiva. The malva comes to Rava and tells Rava, the loiva owes me money. Omalei l'loiva. So Rava told the loiva, Zer parale, go pay up what you owe. Omalei praticha. I paid up. Amalei Rava. So Rava told the Leiva, you're claiming that you paid up. The Malva says he still owed the money. Zil shtabalei, go swear the parate. So here we have a machloikas rishayim. The Ritva says, even though, as we said at the beginning of our shir, midaraisa, there's only a chiyuv shvuah when somebody's a moed of a mixus. If somebody's a koifer hakol, he completely denies that he owes the money. There is no chiyuv shvuah midaraisa. There's only a chiyuv shvuah midrabanan. Still, says the Ritva, when somebody makes that shvuah midrabanan, he has to hold the sefer Torah. That's how the Ritva explains the Gemara. So even though the loiva claimed that he was completely paid up, he still would have to make a shvuah d'rabbanan, holding the Sefer Torah. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says that if it's not a shvuah midaraisa, if it's only a shvuah midrabbanan, there is no chiv to hold the Sefer Torah. Here, even though the Gemara is using the word praticha, it doesn't mean that he was completely paid up. He was admitting that he was a moed of a mitzvah, and therefore he had to make a shvuah midaraisa, which requires nekitas chefetz, holding the Sefer Torah. So Amalei Rava, Imkein zil ishtabalei de prati. Go swear that you paid up. Ozov ha'aisekanye. So the slaver came up with a trick. What was his trick? He took a cane, the yov zuzi begavei. He put money, the cane was a hollow stick. He put money into the stick. V'havim mistamach v'ozov. And he walked into Bezdin on this cane. V'osa oilel Bezdin. And he comes to Bezdin. And he tells the Malva, I have to hold the Sefer Torah. Omle le Malva. So he tells the Malva, I have to hold the Sefer Torah as I'm making the Shvuah. Nekoit haikanya b'yadcha. Hold this cane in your hand. Nosef Sefer Torah. And while he's paid up, because the money is in the cane. Nosef Sefer Torah, v'shtabe de pari. And he swore that he paid up. So Mefarshim make a number of points. Again, we go back to the machloikas that we discussed a moment ago. According to Ritva, he held the Sefer Torah, even though he claimed that he was Koifer HaKol, because Ritva says that even by Shvud Rabbonin, by Koifer HaKol, we hold the Sefer Torah. The Ran's explanation of the Gemara was that he was a Moed of a Mixus, that's why he was holding the Sefer Torah. The Miri has a very interesting explanation to the Gemara. The Miri says he was a Koifer HaKol. And really a Koifer HaKol does not have to hold the Sefer Torah. He was doing this as a trick. He's holding a cane. How does he get the cane out of his hand? So he came in and says, I am a Koifer HaKol. I really don't have to hold the Sefer Torah. But I'm so convinced that what I did, that I don't owe the money, I'm going to hold the Sefer Torah. What was his thinking? That he's going to ask the Malva to hold on to the cane. And it was all a trick to be able to make the shvuah. But as the Rishonim, we just learned at the beginning of our sugya that before somebody makes a shvuah, we tell them al da'teinu val das hamakim, al da'teinu val das bezdin val das hamakim. So we would have prevented that when we told him this statement. Say the Rishonim again. This loiver was a Talmud Chacham. He came to the Daf Yomi Shir. He didn't wait for Bezdin to make this statement. He jumped ahead and said that I'm going to make a shvuah. So before Bezdin even had an opportunity to give him this preamble of al da'teinu, al das Bezdin, al das hamakim, he jumped and made the shvuah with this lie in mind. V'shtabe d'pari, koma d'havel b'yodei. So he swore that he paid up. And here we have a machloikas hagirsos again between the Ritva and the Ran. Because he swore that he paid. And Ritva has the girsa as we had in the Gemara. And Ritva explains that what is the Gemara teaching us? That if a loiva owes Malva money, and he pays the Malva, but the Malva is not aware that he got paid up, it's still called Peron. So that's why he was able to swear that I paid him up. The fact that the Malva wasn't aware, because the Malva was holding the stick with the money in it, and he didn't know, doesn't mean that he didn't pay up. That's how the Ritva explains. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says you can't call it pare that he paid up if the Malva's not aware that I paid him up. And that's why the Ran's gear says, v'shtabe d'yavilei zuzach. He swore that I gave you money, which is true. He did give him money. But we don't call it peron. It's interesting, Shaila, that the Ben Yoyada asks a shayla. Usually Ben Yoyada explains the gadda to Gemara. Here he asks a halachic shayla. What's the halacha if I paid up and you're not aware that I paid you up, and then you do something unaware of this and you lose the money? Is it now your problem or my problem? He gives the following example. The Paiskim give the following example. The Pische Choshen discusses this shayla. Halach lemaisa. There was a neighbor who was traveling overseas for a while. So he asks his neighbor, could you do me a favor, come into my apartment every once in a while to check that everything's all right? No problem. The neighbor comes in. And he's a good neighbor. He sees that the refrigerator is completely empty. So he says it's a waste that the electricity is going on this refrigerator. So he unplugs the refrigerator. A couple days later, he comes again to check on his neighbor's apartment. And he sees, he smells a terrible smell in the apartment. He sees that there was a chicken in the freezer that he hadn't noticed, and that was causing the smell. So he went and threw out the chicken. Then the neighbor comes home and says, what happened here? So he says, I unplugged your refrigerator, the chicken started to smell, I threw it out. He says, you threw out the chicken? I had filled up that entire chicken with money. That's why he hid the money. So is he considered that he was mazik or not? Because I didn't know that I was doing something wrong. The same situation here. I pay you up, I give you the cane, you don't know that the cane is full of money, and you go throw the cane into the garbage. Who would be responsible? The Pesach Choshen Paskins La'aloch L'maisa, that I would not be responsible. It's the bad luck of the person who got the cane and threw into the garbage. It's the bad luck of the person whose chicken was full of money. So here, he gave him the cane, was able to make the shvur. There's a very interesting way that the Shita Mekubetzes continues the story. He says the Gemara leaves out part of the story. He says that in Rava's Bezdin, there was a chain. And on the chain, they had the Shem Hashem. And whenever someone swore, if he swore honestly, he was able to touch the chain. If he swore falsely, Minashemayim, he wasn't able to touch the chain. Here, this individual swore, and he goes over to the chain, and he's able to touch the chain. So now, the Malva really gets angry. Says the Gemara, Hahu Malva Rogas. So the Malva gets very angry. V'tava Lahuganya. So in his anger, he threw down the cane. V'shtapich Hanazuzi La'ara. And the money came out of the cane. V'shtakich the Kashta Ishtabit. So it came out that he said the truth. So that he did say the truth, but he got his money. What do we see from here? That a person, when he makes a shvua, the reason why we tell him about Das Bezdin is not because we're concerned that he's going to misinterpret the words. Nobody's allowed to make up his own words and then say, I meant ints when I spoke about people. Here we're concerned that he's going to do this kind of a trick. And in fact, the Mefarshim say, we say in the capital of L'David Mizmer, a parak in Tilm that we say very often, we say, V'loi nishba l'mirma. What does it mean, V'loi nishba l'mirma? Why didn't he say, V'loi nishba l'sheker? Because there's a new concept that we learned in the Gemara. You could say the truth, but it could be mirma, it could be full of trickery. So an honest person says, V'loi nishba l'mirma. He didn't use trickery to make a shvuah. The Mefarshim ask a question. Why is this cane called Kanya de Rava? What does Rava have to do with this cane? So I saw two pshatim, they're exact opposite of each other. The Ben Yoyada says as follows. He says, the Gemara says, Parasa Shah Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was Mechal Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was Mechal Shabbos. Says the Gemara, wasn't his cow, it was his neighbor's cow. But because he didn't give his neighbor Musar to prevent this from happening, it's considered as if his cow was Mechal Shabbos. Says the Ben Yoyada the same thing here. This loiva obviously prepared this trick. He started acting as if he needs a cane, and then he came into Bezdin with the cane and gave it to the Malva. Rava was the Reish Bezdin. If such a terrible story could happen in the Bezdin of Rava, it's Rava's fault. If he would have made sure the people in his time were honest, this would have never happened. It's the God will be Yisrael's responsibility to make that everything in Klal Yisrael is going honestly. That's the Ben Yoyada's explanation. Rav Tzadik HaKoyen explains it just the opposite. This loiva came up with a tremendous trick. How, and under normal circumstances, he would have gotten away with it. Whose schus caused that he didn't get away with it? Kanya the Rava. Because Rava was the Reish Bezdin, and Rava's schus caused that he ultimately got caught. Ask the Gemara. The Kati, Lo'ovid, the Mishtabi in Adata de Nafshe, is it true that when a person makes a shvua, he doesn't make a shvua on his own understanding, that he can't use the words as he understands them? V'tanya. Ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, we find with Moshe Rabbeinu, Kishbias Yisrael ba'avas Moyev, before Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu are separating, they're going to Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Emelahem, he tells them, Havi yoidim shloil adatchem ani mishbiaschem, not only on your understanding of the Shvua am I making you say the Shvua, El aldati v'das hamokon. Moshe Rabbeinu makes them swear that they're going to follow the Torah, and he says this Shvua is being done on my understanding, on the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shinema, v'loi itchem levatchem. So Masha asks, Moshe Rabbeinu is making them make a Shvua because he's concerned that after he leaves the world, they're not going to follow Torah mitzvahs. So if they're not going to follow Torah mitzvahs, if we're worried that they're going to act that way, what will the shvua make a difference? So Masha says the shvua really won't make a difference. Somebody that doesn't want to follow the Torah, the shvua won't make a difference. However, says the Masha that if they hadn't made a shvua, we can't have a complaint to them. Only because they made a shvua, then afterwards when they don't follow Torah mitzvahs, we have a taina to them. How come you didn't follow what you were supposed to? Ma'amalham Moshe Yisrael. What was Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael? Lav hochi kamalhu. Wasn't he telling him, them, Dilma avad tamili, maybe you will transgress what the Torah says. Vamartim, and you'll say, ah, you made a shvur. You'll say, al datainu. We didn't mean what you meant when we said the shvur. We meant something else. V'shem hochi amalhu. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was careful to tell them, adati. Lafuki mai. Isn't Moshe Rabbeinu concerned? Lav lafuka desai kishmol avaris kuchav malaka. Moshe Rabbeinu makes them swear by Hashem that they're not going to violate the Torah, and they're going to say, you know, when we said alukim, we didn't mean Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We meant avaris kuchav. We meant avaris zara. Mechlal. So we see from here, if Moshe Rabbeinu had this concern, don't we see from here the Ovid Inish, the Mishtaba Data, the Nafshe, that when a person makes a shvua, he makes the shvua as he understands. So how are we saying on Tapet Amid, already at the end of the previous year, that we don't have such a concern? So the Shita asks, why couldn't the Moshe Rabbeinu said that we'll make the Shvur with the Shem HaMefarish? The Shem Elokim could be confused, but the Shem HaMefarish cannot be confused. So the Shita says two terutzim. One terutz is that the Shem, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to use the Shem HaMefarish. It's something that we try to use. Zeshmi la'olam v'zeh zichri la'davidar, says the Gemara, atzikri la'olam ala'alim, it should be hidden. Another pshat is that if the people are going to say that when they use the word Elokim, they mean avodah zarah, they could say that in the Shem HaMefarish also. Says the Gemara, normally we don't have to be concerned about that. The only reason Moshe Rabbeinu was particularly concerned over here, because avodah zikacham ikra eloka. We find in the pasuk that avodah zikacham is called eloka. The ksibah chol alehei mitzrayim. So if they would have said that when we swore in the name Elokim, we meant avodah zarah, that's not a new interpretation of the word Elokim. The pasuk uses the word Elohim for avodah zarah. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. Ask the Gemara, good. Moshe Rabbeinu could not have used the word Elokim because the word Elokim could easily be misinterpreted. V'libiyos in the Mekayim mitzvahs. Maybe use the word mitzvahs. That's what he should have made them swear. So he says, Mashma mitzvah samelach. If he would have used the word mitzvahs, it doesn't mean dafka the mitzvahs of the Torah. It could mean either the two pshatim, the mefarshim. It could mean they would say it meant the mitzvah of appointing a king, or they could say mitzvah samelach means that the king tells us to do something, but it has nothing to do with the Torah. So ask the Gemara v'lesh b'yatzon mekaimim kol mitzvahs. That Moshe Rabbeinu say that you'll fulfill all of the mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, if they would make that shvua, Mashma mitzvah tzitzis. They would say that the only mitzvah that we're making a shvur we have to follow is the mitzvah of tzitzis. Domemar, shkula mitzvah tzitzis kineged kol mitzvah shebetorah. Tzitzis is equal to all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Why is mitzvah tzitzis equal to all the other mitzvahs of the Torah? So Rishonim give two reasons. One is as we say in the parasha of Tzitzis every day, Uzachatem is kol mitzvah Hashem, that by wearing tzitzis, you'll remember all of the mitzvahs Hashem. And the other reason is because the word tzitzis is the gematria 600. There are 8 strands in every mitzvah, in every tzitzis is 8, plus a 5 more knots is 613. So the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara says in many places, Shkula mitzvah zu kenega kol mitzvah shabbatari. The Gemara says there are many different mitzvahs. On bris milah, on staka. So why did the Gemara pick the mitzvah tzitzis? So Mefarshim answer, because mitzvah tzitzis is the only mitzvah the Torah uses this strong pasuk, re'isa ma'isai u'zachartem as kol mitzvah Hashem. All the other mitzvahs, even though the Gemara says in different places, are equivalent to all the mitzvahs of the Torah, there isn't a strong pasuk backing up that point like by tzitzis. And as the Aruch Chaim explains, what is the uniqueness of the mitzvah tzitzis? The uniqueness of mitzvah tzitzis is that we're wearing a uniform. A person who's wearing a uniform is like a soldier. When somebody's wearing a uniform, a soldier's wearing a uniform, he's declaring that he's a soldier of this army. And that's why mitzvah tzitzis is shokel kegnega kol mitzvah shabbatayra. And that's what the people who say l'shem yichud before putting on the mitzvah tzitzis in the morning, talis in the morning, what they're essentially saying is that the day goes by, we don't all have opportunity to be mekayim all the mitzvahs. But by putting on the tzitzis and declaring that we are soldiers of Hashem, with the claim that just like a soldier is prepared to do anything he's commanded to do, so too are we prepared to do anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. That's how the Bnei Yisrael explains. But the Chazon Ish makes an interesting point. The Chazon Ish says that that's only if somebody is makbid to be mahadr, to do the mitzvah tzitzis properly, to wear kosher tzitzis, to wear tzitzis that are proper size. If somebody just puts on tzitzis and he thinks with that he's mekayim mitzvah tzitzis, that it should be considered as if he did all the mitzvah Shabbat Torah, that's not what the Gemara means. And in fact, the Paiskim say this is the reason for 2 halachas that we find. One halach is that every morning when we put on talis tefillin, we put on the talis before we put on the tefillin. Why? Because tzitzis is shokel kenega kol mitzvahs. Another interesting point that the Mefarshim make is that the Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch says it, that if one visits a cemetery, he has to be very careful that his tzitzis should not be sticking out. Why are we more? Because loig l'rash. Because the people who are no longer here can no longer be mekayim mitzvah tzitzis. Why are we more concerned about mitzvah tzitzis than any other mitzvah? Because as we just learned, shkula mitzvah tzitzis, kenega kol mitzvah shebet Torah. Since tzitzis are so important, so the Mesim, the people who are no longer here, are particularly disturbed that they no longer can be mekayim this mitzvah. Although the Mishnah Berurah and the Paiskim discuss an interesting shaila. Let's say someone has limited funds and he can't afford to buy tzitzis and tefillin. What should he buy? So at first glance, after learning our Gemara that says that tzitzis are so important and that tzitzis come before tefillin, we would say he should buy tzitzis. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that that's not true. You should buy tefillin. He says, although our Gemara is actually saying how important tzitzis are, says the Mishnah Berurah, buy tzitzis, the chiyuv to wear tzitzis is only if someone has a beged, somebody has a garment with 4 corners, he has to put on tzitzis. If you don't have a beged, you're not mechuyuv. Tefillin, there's an obligation to put on tefillin every day. And therefore, even though we're saying how important mitzvah tzitzis is, tefillin come before tzitzis. Rishlam, what? Tadashan and Tadashan doesn't play a role there. Now, the Rishlam Kluger says, Rashi says, in the beginning of Parashas Akev, V'hoya Akev Tishmun, it's called Mitzvaysai, so it says, Rashi says, Eilu Mitzvah Adam Dosh V'Kovav. People trample with the heel. Says Rishlam Kluger, what does Rashi mean? Rashi means our Gemara. Tzitzis is such an easy mitzvah to be mekayim. You have to buy a pair of tzitzis for a few dollars, and you mekayim the mitzvah kenega kol ha'tayra kula. Tells us Rashi, you have an opportunity to be mekayim mitzvah shadim dosh ba'kovav. I was thinking a lot of times the tzitzis drag on the floor, so you step on the tzitzis. So a person can be mekayim mitzvah, such a great mitzvah, just and you'll by being mekayim this mitzvah, it's as if you mekayim kol ha'tayra kula. Ask the Gemara, the Lishbi Yotzon, the Mishkayim Torah. So let him, Moshe Rabbeinu, make a shvu, they will mekayim the Torah. Says the Gemara, mashma tarachas. If they would use the word Torah, it'll mean only one Torah. We know there's Torah shebiksav and Torah shebapeh. And he wanted to make them make a shvu that I have to fulfill both. So says the Gemara, v'lishbe yoysen mekayim Torah. So he should have used the word Torah, which will refer to Torah shebiksav and Torah shebapeh. And so the Gemara, mashma taras mincha taras, chatas taras oshim. If you use the word taras, as the Gemara and the Pasuk many times uses the word taras to refer to kabonis. V'lizbe yaisin mekayim et taras umitzis. And so the Gemara, taras mashma taras mincha. It'll only mean the mincha. Mitzvah mashma, mitzvah hamelech, like we said before, to follow what the king tells him. V'lizbe yaisin mekayim et taras kula. So you should have used the words taras kula. Answers the Gemara, Torah kula mashma vartz kechavim. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have just used the word Torah kula, perhaps people would say that it only means that they're swearing that they're not going to worship Avodah Zarah. The Tanya, as the Gemara teaches us, chamura vartz kechavim. Avodah Zarah is such a serious avera, shekolakaifa, but whoever doesn't worship Avodah Zarah is kilamayd v'Torah kula. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem with which word to use. Ask the Gemara, v'lizbe yosu mekayim avodah kechavim Torah kula. You let him use those words that can't be misinterpreted. Inami, he should have explicitly said, I'm making you make a swear that you're going to be mekayim the sheish ma'ayis v'sholosh esher mitzvahs, that you're going to be mekayim the tariag mitzvahs. And that would be no read for misinterpretation. If Moshe Rabbeinu did say this, isn't it a proof that a person can make a shvua and say that I meant it as I thought, not what you thought? Says the Gemara, no. We don't have to have that concern. When a person makes a shvu and bezdin, he says it the way bezdin meant. And Moshe Rabbeinu mislaid trichinikot. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu say these words? He wanted to use words which were, he wanted to make it the most simple speech. So he says, instead of starting with taryag mitzvahs and tyra and avodah zarah and all sorts of different terminology, he says, you're making the shvu as I understand it, case closed. That's how the Gemara here learns. The Gemara misak the shvu says a different reason why Moshe said this. Because the Gemara says that if somebody makes a shvua of das rabbim, that shvua has no hafara. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a shvua of das adatenu, of das hamakoyim, that Klai Yisrael can never have that shvua annulled. Mefarshim say, a das rabbim means at least three people. So we're the three people. So the two pshatim. One pshat is that when we're using hamakoyim, when we're using HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, that's more than people. And that's why it has a din of a neder al das harabbim. Shvu al das harabim, shein loy ha-Torah. Another pshat that the Mefarshim give is that Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should say HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, Moshe Rabbeinu, Knesset Yisrael, so you have three groups, and that becomes a shvu al das harabim that can never be annulled. There's an interesting shach. The shach says, the Shulchan Aruch says, HaChosher al Dover, if somebody is accused that he's not careful on a mitzvah, he can't say Eidus and he can't swear on that subject. Says the Shach, why? Because if somebody is accused of being Oivan Aveira, so he's a person that violated the Shvu Vav Gemara. Once a person is accused of violating a Shvu Vav Gemara, so therefore he's not trusted regarding any other Shvus. Ask the Chazon Ish, if the Shach's explanation is correct, so soon as a person does an Aveira, even one Aveira, and who's a person that didn't do at least one Aveira, according to Shach's explanation, he becomes Choshir al Shvua, he becomes a person that we know violates Shvus, and how could he ever make a Shvua? Ever. He violated the Shvua of our Gemara. So that's what the Chazon Ish says, that we shouldn't understand the Shvua of our Gemara in the traditional sense of a Shvua, because it's not the regular type of Shvua that the person accepted. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach explains that the shvua in our Gemara was a shvua in Kol HaTorah Kula. And unless a person violated Kol HaTorah Kula, do we accuse him of violating the shvua? If the person didn't violate Kol HaTorah Kula, he's not considered that he violated the shvua. So ask the Chazon Ish, if so, why is the halacha that if somebody's choshed al adover, that he's accused that he's not careful, let's say, subject close to us, let's say somebody is accused that he's not makbid on kashrus. So he can't say that a food is kosher. He can't be a mashgiach. If you're not careful yourself, how could you be say shvua? How could you say edus? So the Chazon Ish says that every shvua, every person that makes a shvua, the background to that shvua is that he's an eid echad, that he's a kosher eid. a person who doesn't follow that mitzvah is no longer a kosher aid. And that's why he can't say eidus nor make a shvuah regarding that subject. So the Mishnah gave us another example of a nidre havoy. If a person said, I'm loyro yisi nachash kikaris beisabad. If I didn't see a snake that looked like an olive press. Says the Gemara, why is that considered an exaggeration? For loy, for hu chavya, there was a snake, davi v'shnei shvar malka, that was in the time of shvar malka, ramalei teis tleisa avisa de tivna, it was causing damage, and this is the way the Rishonim explained, how did they get it killed? They took 13 stablefuls of hay, and they filled up the hay with coals and with animals, or bala yasain, and he was able to swallow all 13 stablefuls of hay. And when the fire and the other animals got into his system, they destroyed him. So you see, obviously, it was a huge snake. Amishmul, b'taref. What he meant to say was that this snake had ridges. Ask the Gemara, kula nachash mitra tarfeh. All snakes have ridges. Answers the Gemara, agaboy taref kamirin. Snakes have ridges by their neck. He said that they had ridges on the back. So that's why it's considered an exaggeration, because it's not true. Ask the Gemara, Velisni Taref, if what the incorrect part of what he said was that it had ridges, so why does the Gemara talk about the beam of the olive press? The Gemara should have said that he said that the snake had ridges on the back, which is obviously untrue. Answers the Gemara, Nusa Agav Orcha Kamashon. The Gemara wants to teach us another halacha. The Karis Beis Abad, that when somebody bought, that the olive press beam, Gabim Taref, has ridges. L'may nafkamina, why do we have to know that olive press has ridges? Says the Gemara, L'mekach HaMemka. Loi Malach, to explain to us. Hamoichu Karis Beis Abad L'chaveri. I sell you, you come to me and you say you want to buy a beam for your olive press. And I say, fine, I'm selling it to you. E Gabim Taref in V'loi Loi. Then you come back and say, you know, you sold me an olive press, a beam, without any ridges. You could say it's a mekach tos, because an olive beam, olive press beam, must have ridges. Why must it have ridges? Because those ridges are how the grapes are crushed. Gemara is teaching us that an olive beam press has ridges. There are other pshatim in the Rishonim that the Gemara is not referring to ridges. The Gemara is referring to the shape. That he said that the snake was a square shape. When the aloch is that a snake, and that's not true, because snakes are round. It's olive presses that have to be square. Says the Mishnah. Nidrish Gogis. We began at the beginning of the Perek saying that one of the four types of Nidorim that are always considered Mutter are Nidrish Gogis. And the Mishnah gives us a number of examples of Nidrish Gogis. The first example is, Imachalti Veloshasisi. A person makes a nether, I won't be allowed to eat or do something if I ate or drank. When he made the nether, he forgot that he had ate or drank. That's considered a nidre shkagas. The next example is shani oichel v'shani shaisa. Person says, if I eat or if I drink, the nether should become effective. And when the ned, and he goes and eats or drinks, which triggers the nether. But he forgot that he had made this nether. V'shachach, he forgot that if he's going to eat or drink, the nether will be triggered. V'shasa v'ochel v'shasa. So as Duran explains, the difference between the first two cases is in the first case, the person made a nether, and as he's making the nether, he forgot that he had eaten or drank. In the second case, he's making a nether, and when the nether is triggered, he does something that triggers the nether, but he forgot that these actions will trigger the nether. Both of these are considered nidrei shkagas. Ask Tosfos, good chazara. We learned the case that if somebody says, shkoinim shani yishan hayoyim, a person says, I'm not allowed to sleep today, im ishan lamachar, if I'll sleep tomorrow. So the Gemara says, he's not allowed to sleep today, because we're concerned he's going to sleep tomorrow. So ask Tosfos, why shouldn't he sleep today? If he'll sleep tomorrow, he's a shaygig. And we're learning that as somebody who makes a nether b'shaygig is not considered that he violated the nether. So answers Tosfos, if he's going to fall asleep tomorrow b'shaygig, that's not my concern. Our concern is he's going to fall asleep tomorrow b'mezid, which then it's not a nidre shkagas. Another teretz that the Re'eim gives, in the case where somebody said, koinim shi ishan ayoyim, im ishan lamachar, it's different than the case of Al Gemara. In Al Gemara, the nether is not triggered until he eats or drinks. And if he forgot that he's not allowed to eat or drink, it's a neder shkagas. Here, when somebody said kainim sheish and ayoyim, the neder is here. It's already a neder. Now, if he's going to sleep tomorrow, the neder, he will have violated, if he sleeps today and tomorrow, he will have violated the neder, so it's not a similar case. The next case is, kainim ishtin nanasli, somebody says a neder that my wife may not benefit from me, shagam ves kisi, because she stole my wallet, or shiksis beni, she hit my son. And then it turns out, shlai hiksa, she never hit my son. Vinoidin shlai ginva, and she never stole. So as the Rishonim explained, if somebody said a neder that my wife may not benefit from me if she hit my son, we don't need the Mishnah. Because the neder was made with a tenai, with a condition. If the condition is not fulfilled, there's no neder. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that since he said that I'm making the neder because my wife hit my son, because my wife stole the wallet, if it turns out that that Baruch Hashem never happened, so there is no neder. However, what would be the halacha? Here we have a machlokes Rishonim. If somebody just says, my wife, I'm making a neder, my wife may not benefit from me. And then he comes to Beis Din, and that's all he says. And then he comes to Beis Din and says, the only reason I made the neder was because I thought my wife had stolen from me, or my wife had hit my son. And Baruch Hashem didn't. So what's the halacha? So the Ran says, since I didn't make that statement when I made the neder is a neder. He could have Pesach, he could have a charoto. But that doesn't change that the neder is considered a valid neder. The Rajba, the Machna Ephraim quotes the Rajba, disagrees. The Rajba holds that if a person walks in, and even though when he expressed the neder, he did not say that I'm making the neder because my wife hit my son, because my wife stole, it makes no difference. The neder is considered that it's the neder will be to considered totally invalid. Next case. Royus and Eichlin Tainim. I see a group of people eating my figs. They're very angry. They're eating my figs. V'amaharei aleichem karbon. These figs should be offered to you. V'nimtza. And then it turns out that amongst the group of people that were eating my figs were aviv v'achiv. Were amongst that people were my father, my brothers. V'ayecherim. And there were all the people. V'shamayimrim. Heim v'tarim. The father and brother may continue eating the figs. Umashi imam, the other people may not, asurim. Beisil aimrim, elu elu mitarim, everybody may eat, continue eating the figs, because Beisil is of the opinion, and this is going to be the beginning of the sugya that we're going to be learning tomorrow also, Mitzashem, Beisil of the opinion, neder shehuta miktsasa huta kuloi. And if the neder becomes partially invalid, the entire neder falls away. There's a machlokes rishonim, why neder shehuta miktsasa huta kuloi. Tosfos says, no, the Rosh says, because the Pasuk says, no, I'm sorry, again, Taisa says, because the Pasuk says, k'chol ha-yoytzi mipiv yasa. It has to be everything I said. If I'm not fulfilling everything, then the nether falls away. The Rosh says, because when a person makes a nether, he intends that the entire nether should be fulfilled. And if the entire nether can't be fulfilled, none of the nether is valid. What is the nafkamina between Taisa and the Rosh? I saw a very interesting nafkamina. The Ramban says that if somebody makes a nether, and then the nether is annulled, it could be annulled for one of three reasons. Either because it's a nidrash shkagas, as we're learning, or it could be a case that he had a Pesach, or it could be a case of charot. Says the Ramban, if the nether is annulled because it was a nidrash shkagas, or if the nether is annulled because he had a Pesach, so there's never a nether, and then we say, nether shutta miktsasa huta kulay. On the other hand, if it was because of charota, that doesn't uproot nether, that it wasn't a nether, and therefore, we don't say nether shutta miktsasa huta kuloi. And only the part that he regretted is no longer a nether, the rest is still valid. Other Rishonim say it makes no difference why the nether is annulled. If part of the nether is annulled, the entire nether falls away. What's the basis of this machlokes Rishonim? The machlokes that we quoted between Tosfos and Rosh. The Mandom that says it makes no difference holds because we follow the concept that I made a nether and I want the entire nether fulfilled. If the entire nether is not fulfilled, I don't want any of it. The other man, the Ramban, holds, k'chol ayoyitz mipiv yasa. But that's only when we had a nether. And that's only when we didn't have a nether or did have a nether. So by a Pesach or by a nidrash shkagas that we didn't have a nether, it all falls away. By charota, we keep the entire nether. The Rishonim also say that as we have learned, one of the other ways that a nether could be annulled is if a husband or a father are made for the nether of their daughter or their wife. There the Rishonim agree that let's say the husband or the father are only made for part of the nether. The part that they're made for is no longer a nether, and the part that they weren't made for remains. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Shem shenidresh shkagus mutarim, just like our Mishnah taught, teaches us, the nidresh shkagus amutar, kach shvu shkagus mutaris. So too shvu shkagus. Ask the Gemara, heichi dami shvu shkagus. What is an example shvu shkagus? So the Rishonim explained the Gemara as follows. Actually, the whole din of nidresh shkagus, that they're not valid nedarim, we learned from shvuas. Because the pasuk says, l'chol asher yivata ha'odom v'shvua, that the person has to be an Adam. He has to be knowing what he's talking about when he makes the Shvua. And that's why Nidra Shgagas and Shvua Shgagas are mutter. Our Mishnah spoke about Nadarim, and the Gemara goes on to say that not only Nadarim, which are more lenient, but even Shvuas, which are more stringent, since that's the source, how we know that something that's said Vishkagig is not a Nidra or Shvua, are mutter. But now the Gemara says, this is where Rashid explains the Gemara, how far do we take the heter of a shvua shkagis? Says the Gemara, a very interesting story. Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were both talmidim of Rav, and they had a dispute. Exactly what did Rav say in the shir? Hadein Oma, once said shvua the hachiyam of Rav. One said, I'm making shvua that this is what Rav said in the shir. But hey, Dein Oma, the other one said shvua the hachiyam of Rav. This is what I make a shvua. The kol chad v'chad adated enough to shabbat k'mishtaba. Both of them, when they made the shvua, thought that they were saying the right thing. Now, one of them ends up must be wrong. Still, it's considered a shvua shkagas, and there's no problem. So, as the mefarshim explain, what is the chiddush of the shvua? A very big chiddush. When somebody makes a shvua that this should be also to me if I ate or drank, and like we learned in the Mishnah, he forgot. So obviously it's a shvu shkagas. He had forgotten. Here, when Rav Asi and Rav Kahana made these shvuas, one of them knew he was making a false shvua. Because we both can't be right. You're saying this is what the Rebbe said, and I'm saying this is what the Rebbe said. One of us must be wrong. So maybe we should consider that a shvua sheker, because one of us knew it's a 50% chance that he's wrong. Still, since when I made the shvua, when Rav Kahana and Rav Asi each made the shvua, they thought they were saying the right thing, it's not considered shvua shkagas. It's considered, shvua shkagas. The Sefer Nidri's reason says it even more. Because they were making shvus about Torah, and there's nothing more important than Torah, so I would think that they should be careful, and if they make a mistake, it's not considered making a mistake. Teaches us the Gemara still considered making a mistake. Continues the Gemara. Ra'is and Aysel. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. We learned in the Mishnah later in our Masechta. Paiskin b'Shabbosos uv'Yom Tovim. That means, somebody makes a shvua, two pshatim in the mefarshim. That he's going to fast for 30 days. Or he makes a shvua that he's going to not eat meat for 30 days. And then, when he comes to the Rav says, do you realize that on Shabbos and Yom Tov you're not allowed to fast? Do you realize on Shabbos and Yom Tov you have to eat meat? So, as most Rishonim explain, that serves as a Pesach. And that could be a Pesach to annul the nether. So Paischem Shabbosos v'Yom Tovim. B'Rishayna, so at the beginning they said, Oysom HaYom V'Torim. So now Shabbos and Yom Tov I'll be allowed to eat. Shabbos and Yom Tov I'll be allowed to eat meat. V'Shakol HaYomim, but all the other days, Asurim. At Shabbos Rabbi Kiva V'Limei, until Rabbi Kiva taught us, Neder Shuta Mektsosoi Huta Kulai. And if I'm allowed, if the Neder is partially annulled, it's considered completely annulled. So Mepharshim asked, what do I need Rabbi Kiva? It's the Mishnah teaches us the Beis Hillel holds Neder Shuta Mektsasa Huta Kulai. So Mepharshim gives two answers. One answer is that originally they thought that even Beis Hillel didn't agree to the concept of Neder Shuta Mektsasa Huta Kulai. It was only Rabbi Kiva that taught them this halacha that Rabbi Kiva holds Neder Shuta Mektsasa Huta Kulai. That's one approach that the Mepharshim give. Another approach that the Mepharshim give is Neder Shuta Mektsasa Huta Kulai. They thought is only when a Neder is like our Mishnah, when it's Nidra Shkagas, that the nether is not a nether in the first place. But here it's not a nether that's not a nether in the first place. Here it went with a Pesach. It's not a Nidra Shkagas. So they thought that there we don't apply the concept of Nether Shuta Mektsasa Huta Kulai. Taught in the Rekiva that not only by Nidra Shkagas do we say Nether Shuta Mektsasa Huta Kulai, but even by nether that becomes annulled through a Pesach.